Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We'll give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Hallelujah. Okay, Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Numbers 21:4. Okay. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." You see that? Okay, I remember in the first service we began a teaching on familiarity, right? Okay, we said that the things of God must never be approached with a casual attitude. Remember that? Okay, so here we have the children of Israel. Remember, we said that what they are referring to as worthless bread was the manna, right? In the wilderness, Exodus 16, whereby God made a divine supernatural provision for his people when they were in hunger. And then you see the same people dishonor the same. And we said the issue actually was with familiarity, right? You know, they said our soul loathes this worthless bread. We said that word loathes has to do with being sick of something, right? No, how many of you have eaten, you eat rice so much you get tired of rice? Remember that happened to you before? You know, it really happens to us in Nigeria. Rice is our natural food. Amen. Rice is our national food. It's in our constitution. Amen. A Nigerian can eat rice every day and he won't feel it. Okay, so let me look for another. Maybe beans. Aha, that's the one people run away from a lot. Okay, so you eat the same thing over and over and over and over again that you begin to lose interest. That is what happened to the children of Israel. You know, today we call that sea finish. Amen. In our colloquial language, pidgin, amen, whereby you've experienced the same thing over and over and over again. Just say, what left is there? Do you get it? Okay, so that's what happened to the children of Israel. And you know, we said that was a bad attitude, right? You know, the fact that you've eaten it for 40 years doesn't mean it didn't come from God. Do you get it? Don't forget that. You've eaten it for 40 years, but it doesn't take away the fact that it was God that made that provision. So you don't dishonor God's provision just because you're sick of it. Do you follow that? Okay, so that was the issue with the people of Israel. You know, very, very irreverent in their attitude towards the things of God. I remember we said that God deserves to be worshipped, right? You know, he's God. Amen. We said God is our Father, right? But God is also our King. Do you follow that? Okay, so don't mistake one for the other. I know, yes, it's true, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That means we can stand before God without any sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation, right? But that doesn't now give you the right to disrespect him. You know, some people just feel that what that means is that I can be in church and everybody, the pastor says, everyone lift your hands and my hands are in my pocket. After all, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. You know, we are, the teaching is going on. Everyone are looking at their Bibles, writing, you know, turning to the text, being called out. But you are just looking around and say, after all, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, you are misusing your freedom in Christ. Do you follow that? You are misusing your freedom in Christ. That is not why God gave his righteousness. Do you follow that? Remember, we saw John, right? The righteousness of God in Christ. Yet he saw the risen Christ, whose righteousness he is. Amen. And if he bowed. Amen. He fell on his face. Do you see that? So do you think we should bow more in church? You don't think so? Yes, we should. Some people are just looking at their fine gown. Ah, Pastor, do you know how much I saw this thing? Amen. Irreverence. Irreverence. Do you get it? You know, he is God. Do you follow that? Okay, simply by being God, he is worthy of our worship. You know, we saw how several people saw God and their reactions toward him, right? You see, when Jacob had a divinely granted appearance, you see his reaction, right? Fear, godly fear, reverence. You see, Abraham fell down, right? You see that even demons couldn't stand. Remember that? Dagon, right? you know, told you that that idol has a supernatural being behind it, right? Evil spirit. We saw that in Deuteronomy 32. Okay, so and you see that even demons couldn't stand. We saw in Revelation that even angels bow, right? Okay, so that is the God we serve. Everyone is in subjection to Him. Do you follow that? He is worthy of our reverence. Okay, and we know we also said that in every service, every gathering of the people of God, there is an invited guest, right? Or a special guest. We said that guest is God, our Lord Jesus Christ, right? You know, we saw in Revelation how that Jesus was in the midst of the seven churches, right? He's right there. And not only was He right there, He was inspecting. Do you get it? So Jesus is here right now. Say, Jesus is here right now. Okay, what is He doing? He's not just idle, okay? He's looking at what we are doing. He's seeing everything we are doing. And one day we are going to be rewarded or judged. Do you follow that? Okay, based on what we do, our service to the Lord. Okay, so that means that if I'm thinking well, I shouldn't act in a casual manner in the gathering of the saints, right? I should act with a reverential attitude, right? Okay, I mustn't get too familiar with the things of God. So, you know, that means that we must always approach the things of God with wonder. Do you get it? Never lose your wonder. That's the point. But we call that the fear of the Lord, right? Okay, never lose that fear. Do you get it? That awe that is God. Do you get it? So that means if I come to church knowing or having this fear of the Lord, some things should be easy for me. You know, it shouldn't be hard for me to pray well. Amen? If I have the fear of the Lord, it shouldn't be hard. Because I know He is God. Do you get it? You know, it shouldn't be hard for me to lift up my hands and sing. Do you get it? It shouldn't be hard because He is God. But you know, when we get too familiar, you know, we just say, well, we've been saying He's God, He's God, He's God, He's God, but we haven't seen Him yet. You know, that is how the natural man thinks, that you get too casual. No, it's not good enough. Amen. Okay, never approach the things of God with a casual attitude, with a over familiar attitude. Is that clear? Okay, now that is what we'll be looking at in this service. Now, the opposite of the fear of the Lord is familiarity. Okay, familiarity, whereby the things of God no longer interest you. Okay, you are not in awe of God and you get bored with spiritual things. That is the opposite of the fear of the Lord. Now you see that the Bible uses a term to describe this. You know, it describes it as the hardening of the heart. I remember I've seen that before, your Bible reading. Okay, the hardening of the heart. You see that that term is used both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Okay, you find that term, the hardening of the heart, used in both Old and New Testaments. Now, this term is used, first of all, for Pharaoh. Remember that? Look at Exodus 4:21. Please turn your Bible there. Exodus 4:21. Okay? And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do those wonders, underline wonders, okay, before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart. Now underline that, harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. You see that? Harden his heart. Now that word harden translates the Hebrew chazak. Chazak. C-H-A-Z-A-Q. C-H-A-Z-A-Q. Which means rigid. Rigid. Firm, obstinate. You know what that means? Stubborn. Okay, so the hardening of Pharaoh's heart describes an attitude that he would have towards spiritual things. Do you follow that? Okay, so God sends Moses with wonders to Pharaoh, okay, but Pharaoh will be hardened. You know what that means? That means that he won't take the wonders seriously. Do you follow that? So Moses is sent to the people of Egypt with signs and wonders, right? Miracles. But the Lord says ahead of time that Pharaoh will be hardened. Now, the reason for this hardening is not far-fetched. Now, recall that Egypt was already full of magicians, right? Sorcerers. And you see that these men also performed many wonders by their magic. Right? You see that in Exodus. You see that in Exodus, Moses and Aaron would work signs, right? And then the sorcerers would replicate those signs, right? Now you see that. Now first of all, they replicated the transfiguration of rods into snakes. Look at that, Exodus 7 verse 8. Please turn your Bible there. Exodus 7, 8. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, Show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, Take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent." Now look at 10. "So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded." Okay? "And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." But look at verse 11. "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers." So the magicians of Egypt, look at that, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Underline like manner, okay? Do you see that? So now, not only this, they also replicated the turning of water to blood. Look at that, Exodus 7:20. Okay? "And Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood." You see that? And look at 21. "The fish that were in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt." Now look at 22. "Then the magicians of Egypt did so," underline that, "did so with their enchantments." So you see that? So you see they replicated the sign. Okay? Now see the result. "And Pharaoh's heart grew hard." Do you see that? Do you get what happened here? When he saw that his magicians could also do the same thing, then "and Pharaoh's heart grew hard." Do you get it? Okay, so that was a result of what he saw. "And he did not heed them as the Lord had said." You see that? Okay, then also the frogs, chapter 8. Look at Exodus 8:6. "So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Okay, and the magicians did so, underline that, "did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt." You see that? So Pharaoh's issue would be familiarity. Okay, you know how Pharaoh is thinking, "I've seen this already." Right? You know, my sorcerers have been doing this for a long time. So what is new about what God is doing? That is how Pharaoh is thinking. Do you follow this? Okay, so he had a casual attitude towards the things of God. You know, like we say today, what is new under the sun? That is how Pharaoh was thinking, okay? So that is a hardened heart. Do you follow that? Okay, it is no longer sensitive. That's a hardened heart. No longer sensitive. It just feels, well, I've seen this already, right? I've experienced this already, so there is nothing new. And you see that the Apostle Paul describes this state of the heart, Ephesians 4. Please turn your Bible there. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Now look at 18. "Having their understanding darkened," underline that, okay? Understanding darkened, "being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart," underline that, blindness of their heart. Now look at 19. "Who being past feeling," underline that, "past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness." You see that? So it describes them as what? Past feeling. Now that phrase past feeling translates the Greek apalgeo. A-P-A-L-G-E-O. A-P-A-L-G-E-O. The last O accentuated. It means to cease to feel. Okay? To cease to feel. To cease to care. You know what today we call heartless. That's that word, apalgeo. Heartless. You don't care anymore. Your heart, you know, I don't, like they say in the word, I don't give a damn. That's that word. Okay? Past feeling, apalgeo. Okay? So that is a wrong attitude to the things of God. Do you follow that? It's a hardened heart. Past feeling. Okay? You see that in the New Testament, the word hardened is also used to describe disobedient Israel. Look at Acts 19 verse 8, for example. Okay, it's used to describe disobedient Israel. Acts 19:8. Please turn there, I'll wait for you. Acts 19:8. Are you there now? Okay. And he there is Paul, okay, went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened, underline that, hardened, and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of one Tyrannus. You see that there? Okay, so he speaks of some among the Jews who were hardened. Now, the word hardened in verse 9 translates the Greek scleruno. Scleruno. That's S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. The E accentuated, okay? The O also accentuated. Now, this word means obstinately stubborn. Okay? Obstinately stubborn. Resisting what God says is right. That's that word. Okay, now this word is the Greek equivalent for kauzak, remember, of the Old Testament. Okay, so it is like saying kauzak in the Greek. That's that word here. Okay, scleruno. So it describes an inflexible state of the heart. Hardened heart. Inflexible. It doesn't feel anymore. Now you see that Acts 28 says this differently. Please turn there. Acts 28:23. Acts 28:23. Okay? So when they, now they there is the Jews, okay, had appointed him, now him there's Paul, a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Now look at 24. And some of them were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. And 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. Now look at that. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to your fathers, saying, now look at that, go to this people and say, hearing you will not hear. Do you see that? And shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. And look at 27. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Do you see that? Have grown dull. Underline that, okay? Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Do you see that? Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. You see that there? Quoting Isaiah 6:9-10. So there is such a thing as an unresponsive heart. Okay, eyes dull of hearing. Okay, closed eyes, whereby a person chooses to be persistently stubborn and adamant. Okay, his mind cannot react to admonitions anymore. That's that word here. Okay, his mind cannot react to admonitions anymore. He doesn't care. Okay, that is the hardness of the heart. So can you see that we see the word hardened used for unbelievers, right? The unsaved, right? Note, however, that believers too can assume this state of the mind. Okay, so we've seen hardened used for the unbelievers, right? The unsaved Jews, okay? But note, however, that believers too can assume this state of the mind. Look at how Paul says this, 1 Timothy 4:1. Please turn your Bible there. 1 Timothy 4:1. Okay? Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith. Underline that. The faith. Now that is sound doctrine. Okay? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay, so that will be false teachings. Okay? Now look at 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience shared with all iron. You see that? Having their own conscience said with a hot iron. Now these are Christians. Do you follow that? Okay. And Paul speaks of a time when we will find believers with a sad conscience. Okay. A sad heart. Now he says they will depart from sound doctrine. Now that word shared, used here, translates the Greek kaurizo. Okay, kaurizo. That's kaurizo. Kaurizo. The E after T accentuated, the O after Z also accentuated, where we get the English terminology to cauterize. Remember that? To cauterize. That's C-A-U-T-R-I-Z-E. Okay? So, cauterizo was a term used in classical Greek to describe a procedure. Now, this is what happened in that procedure. A hot iron was used to burn the flesh and deaden the nerves. Okay? That is cauterizo. They will take a hot iron and use it to burn the flesh. Okay, then deaden the nerves. Now, the part of the body that was burned then became numb. Know what that means? Numb. Okay, so after this procedure, the person no longer feels obvious impulses. Okay, on that part of the body. So he doesn't feel pleasure, he doesn't feel pain anymore. Okay, that's called a rizzo. That word literally means to render insensitive. Okay, to render insensitive. Okay, and that is what these ones have done to their heart. Paul says they burnt their conscience. Do you follow that? So they've become insensitive and unresponsive to the impulses of God's Spirit. Do you follow that? So they've done something evil to their heart. Now, these are Christians. Do you follow that? So there is such a thing as having a heart that no longer feels things anymore. Do you follow that? A shared conscience called a rizzo. Do you follow that? Now, this insensitivity of the heart is revealed in many ways. Okay? It manifests itself in many ways, or itself in many ways. Now, first of all, an hardened person becomes obstinate towards God and his things. Now, what does that mean? That means that such a person loses his wonder for God's power and miracles. Okay? He loses his awe. Now, remember, we saw that with Israel, right? And the manna in the wilderness. Remember what they called it? Worthless bread. Look at Numbers 25 verse 1 again. Or pardon me. Numbers 21 5 again. Please turn your Bible there. Numbers 21 5. Are you there? Okay. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. You see that? So this is an hardened heart in action. Okay? And as we have seen, familiarity is the cause, right? Okay? They had gotten too used to seeing miracles that they began to disregard them. That was Israel's issue here. Okay? So familiarity was the cause here. You see that in the Bible, time and time again, Israel is rebuked for forgetting God's power towards them. Time and time again. You see that, first of all, Psalm 106, verse 19. Please turn your Bible there. Psalm 106, 19. Are you there? Okay, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molding image. Thus, they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. And look at 21. They forgot, underline that, forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Do you see that? Okay, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. So do you see their problem? They had gotten too familiar with God. Do you see that? So much so that they began to dishonor him. He says they forgot, right? You see that verse 21. He said the God who had done great things, they forgot all these things, the wondrous works, the awesome things by the Red Sea. You know, when you let yourself get to this point, you'd find yourself no longer taking God seriously anymore. Okay? When you let yourself get to this point, you find yourself no longer taking God seriously anymore. See Jeremiah 2:31. Jeremiah 2:31. Are you there? Jeremiah 2:31. It says, O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel? or a land of darkness. He says, why do my people say, we are lords, we will come no more to you? Now look at 32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people, now that's Israel, okay, have forgotten me days without number. Underline that. Have forgotten me days without number. So you see, the same God who worked miracles, right, before their very eyes, they had forgotten. Do you see that? The same God. Now that word forgotten translates the Hebrew sawkak. Okay? S-H-A-K-A-C-H. Sawkak. Okay? Which literally means to not pay attention to. That's what familiarity does. Do you see that? So you now begin to feel, what is there again to know about God? That was the problem, people of Israel. You know, they had seen God so much. Okay? And I said, what is there again to know about him? Right? You now withdraw your heart, your attention. That is familiarity. Are you following this? Okay? Now, not only that, you also become obstinate towards God's word. Okay? That is a manifestation of the hardness of the heart. You become obstinate, stubborn towards God's word. You see that the Jews were often described as shutting their ears to God's word. Right? Look at how Stephen describes them. Acts 7:51. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 7:51. Are you there now? Acts 7:51. It says, you stiff-necked, okay, or stubborn. That's that word there, okay? And uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Underline that. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. You see that? So do you. Do you see that? As your fathers did, so do you. So there is such a thing as resisting the Holy Spirit. You shut your ears and your heart to the conviction of the word. And you see that that is what the Jews were doing here. That is what they did. You see that in verse 57 of that same chapter. It says, then they, now they there being the Jews, cried out with a loud voice, stop their ears. Do you see that? They put their hand on their ears like this, literally. Do you see that? And ran at him, that is Stephen, okay, with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. You see that? So they rather kill Stephen than hear the truth. The Bible says they literally put their hands on their heads like this. So you see, that is a bad attitude. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, a bad attitude. You no longer want to hear Bible teaching. You know, for some, they will only listen to preachers who preach what they like. Amen? You see, the Apostle Paul calls this itching ears. Look at 2 Timothy 4:3. Itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. Are you there? Okay, for the time will come when they, now I told you they are Christians, okay? Those are Christians, okay? For the time will come when they will not endure, underline that. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up teachers. Do you see that? For themselves, underline that. Unlike itching ears, okay? Unlike hip hop teachers for themselves, okay? And they will turn their ears away from the truth. Underline, turn their ears, okay? Away from the truth. And will be turned aside to fables. Do you follow that? Now, this here is a result of over familiarity. You see that verse 3 tells us that. Look at it again. Verse 3 of that same chapter. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure. Do you see that? Sound doctrine. That is the issue. They will not endure sound doctrine. That word endure translates the Greek aneko. A-N-E-C-H-O. Aneko. The last O accentuated. Which means to put up with. Do you see that? To put up with. To bear with. To listen to. So you can read it this way. They will no longer put up with sound doctrine. Do you see that? So such persons won't feel like hearing the same things again. Do you follow that? They will not get bored with the same truths. You now find these are the ones that will be saying things like, I've heard this before. Right? I want to hear something new. I've heard this before. What else can pastor say? You know, these are people that will say things like, is it not from the same Bible pastor keeps teaching every time? Why can't he teach us from the seven books of Moses? Amen. And you see, eventually, they fall into heresies. Do you follow that? They fall into error. So you see, a manifestation of over familiarity is obstinance towards God's word. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, thank you. Now, another manifestation of familiarity is obstinance towards spiritual gatherings and the leaders in the gatherings. Okay? Obstinance towards spiritual gatherings and the leaders within the gatherings. You know, some people feel like church is not special because I come to church every Sunday. Yeah, people will think that way. Some other people, the way they think is this. No, there is nothing special about my pastor. After all, I see him every day. I see him every week. Now, that is over familiarity. Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, that is over familiarity. You see that Israel did this in the Old Testament. You see that at some point, Israel, they abandoned going to the temple of God for idols. Okay, so they left the gathering of God's people for the gathering of idols. You see that 2 Chronicles 24:18. Please turn your Bible there. 2 Chronicles 24:18. I wait for you. 2 Chronicles 24:18. It says, therefore they left the house of the Lord God. Do you see that? The house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served what? Wooden images and idols. Underline that. Wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. You see that? So they abandoned the gatherings, right? The gatherings of God's people. And you see that time and time and time again, God will send them spiritual leaders, okay? But they rejected them. Now, those spiritual leaders will be the pastors today. Look at verse 19 of that same chapter. It says, yet he sent prophets to them. Do you see that? To bring them back to the Lord, and they testified against them. Do you see that? But they would not listen. Underline that. They would not listen. So they abandoned the gathering of the saints, and they also disregarded the men that God sent to them. That is over familiarity. Do you see that? You see that they did the same thing to Moses in the wilderness. You know, God had used Moses to deliver the children of Israel, right? From bondage in Egypt. You see that Hosea 12:13. Hosea 12:13. It says, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was preserved. Now that prophet there is Moses. Do you follow that? So by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out. You see that, of Egypt. Yet you see that on numerous occasions they tried to stone Moses to death. Look at Exodus 17:4. It says, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. Do you see that? Do you see that? Now the question is, how do you go from being thankful to wanting to stone the man? I mean, this man saved their lives, right? And now you see these same people wanting to stone him. Now what is that? Familiarity. Do you follow that? Do you follow that? Okay, so disregarding spiritual gatherings and your spiritual leaders is evil. You hear what I said? Disregarding spiritual gatherings and your spiritual leaders is evil. You know, it's a show that you have gotten too familiar. That was Israel's problem. Okay, so you must keep your reverence for the gatherings of the saints. Do you follow that? You must keep your reverence for the gathering of the saints. You must keep your reverence for your man of God. Amen. Your pastor, your spiritual leader. Okay, you must honor him in how you relate together. Do you follow that? And I tell you time and time and time again that honor is not in words alone, right? Okay, honor will be seen in actions. You see, some people, they can't even greet the pastor well. Amen. You see, the pastor, they are in the church. The pastor comes into the service and they're just saying, what is this? Do you greet your parents that way? Good afternoon, sir. You just bow down a bit. You are getting too familiar. Do you hear what I said? Do you hear what I said? You are getting too familiar. And it will cost you. Okay? Let there be honor in how you relate to your leaders. Greet them well. Now, I told you in faithfulness, there's nothing wrong in you dobaling before your pastor. Amen. There's nothing wrong in you as a lady. You kneel down. Good afternoon, sir. There's nothing wrong with that. It's simply a show of honor. Don't get too familiar. You know what I'm saying to you now? Don't get too familiar. You know, some people, before they would listen to, when their pastors are giving prophecies, they will kneel down to receive prophecies. Now they are standing. You are getting too familiar. You know what I'm saying? You're getting too familiar. You don't feel like, okay, he gives prophecies every Sunday, so what's the point? So don't get too familiar. Watch even the words that you say to your leaders. You know, it is familiarity that made Peter rebuke Jesus. Familiarity. Remember that story? Look at Matthew 16:21. Please turn your Bible there. Matthew 16:21. Are you there? Okay. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. And look at 22. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Underline that. Began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Look at that. What gods? The effrontery. Now, this same Peter had honored Jesus when they first met. Right? Look at Luke 5:8. Please turn your Bible there. Luke 5:8. Turn your Bible there. Luke 5:8. Are you there now? Okay, now look at that. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm what? A sinful man, O Lord." Do you see that? So this was Peter's first reaction to Jesus. Remember, Jesus had just worked the miracle, right? Before Peter's eyes. And Peter was in awe of Jesus, right? This was his first reaction. He fell down on his knees. But look at what now happened. Peter then became one of Jesus' disciples. Do you follow that? Okay, he was with Jesus for 3 years. Now, this same Peter that fell down on his feet, right? In awe, right? In reverence, right? In honor, right? Okay, this same Peter now saw Jesus hungry. John 4:7, turn there. John 4:7. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Remember the story? Woman at the well, right? Okay, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now look at 8. For his disciples, including Peter, had gone away into the city to buy him food. Do you see that? So he saw Jesus hungry. That is Peter. He was even one of those who went to buy him food. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing familiarity? Come on. Come on. Okay. Now this same Peter, he also saw Jesus sleep. Look at Luke 8:22. Please follow this, okay? Luke 8:22. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out." Now look at 23. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep." Now he there is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? So he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Do you see that? So he was sleeping. Do you see that? Peter was there. You know, Jesus was probably snoring as he slept. Amen? Remember, he was a man, right? Okay? So, and Peter saw that. This same Jesus that worked miracles. Peter, the disciple, now saw him. You know, he slept so much, he didn't even wake up when the boat was about to capsize. So that shows you it was a deep sleep. Do you see that? You see that? So what is happening is getting familiar. Come on. Come on. Getting familiar, right? This same Peter, he saw Jesus cry. The same Peter. Look at John 11:35. John 11:35. Shortest verse. It says, Jesus wept. Amen. Now remember, this was at Lazarus' death, right? Right? Okay. And Peter was there when this happened. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter. John 11. John 11:14. It says, "Then Jesus said to them," that is his disciples, okay, "plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Now look at 16. "Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to what? His fellow disciples." Now you know what happened here? Lazarus had died, right? Now Jesus was going to meet them, right? Okay, now look at this. It now says, "Let us also go." So also go with who? With Jesus, okay, that we may die with him. Do you follow that? So the disciples of Jesus followed him to Bethany, Peter inclusive. Do you see that? Okay, so when Jesus cried, was Peter there? Yes, Peter saw it. So you see that Peter became acquainted with the humanity of Jesus in angry wings, like we say today. Amen. So Peter probably felt, oh, he's just a man like us, right? Then he now had the audacity to rebuke him. Do you see that? That is what familiarity causes. You know, some people are very, very silly. You know, the first time they met their pastor, they met their pastor in a special meeting. Okay, and in that meeting, the man of God flowed so much in the things of the Spirit. The word of God was taught well. And you know, they were in so much awe, amazement, reverence, right? You know, God spoke, and they went, they prayed about it, and God spoke to them. God said, that man is your pastor. Amen. You know, and you know, they honored the man at their first encounter with the man. Then years later, they now joined the man's church. Amen. They now start seeing him every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. You know what now happens? The honor now begins to reduce. You follow that? The honor begins to reduce, begins to reduce. They begin to get too familiar. You know, don't be stupid. Do you follow that? Don't be stupid. If having access to a man of God makes you lose your respect for him, then you are a fool. You hear what I said? A big one. That's what happened to Peter. Do you see this now? So he started hanging out around him. You know, for some people, they now have the man on WhatsApp. Amen. You know, before, when he was far from them, you know, they didn't have his number. They honored him. But now they see his WhatsApp status every day. Amen. They can chat him up anytime. Then they begin to get too familiar. And you see that Jesus had to put Peter back in his place. Look at Matthew 16 again. Verse 23. Matthew 16:23. It says, but when he turned, now he is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Okay, and he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Do you see that? You are an offense to me, underline that. An offense to me. For you are not mindful, underline that. Not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Underline not mindful, okay? So that was Peter's issue. He was no longer mindful. Do you follow that? He had gotten too familiar. Do you follow that? So Jesus shut him up immediately. Know your place. Amen? Don't be stupid. Know your place. It takes a height of disrespect and dishonor to rebuke your spiritual leaders. That's the height of disrespect and dishonor. It shows you lack reverence, and it will cost you. You hear what I said? It will cost you. Let me say this to you, that over familiarity has its consequences. Did you hear that? Over familiarity has its consequences. Whenever you get too familiar with the things of God, whatever it is, okay, you will never be blessed by them anymore. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. Whenever you get too familiar with the things of God, whatever it is, okay, you will never, okay, be blessed by them anymore. Never. Whatever thing of God you get too familiar with will never bless you anymore. We see a perfect example of this, Mark 6. Please turn your Bible there. Mark 6:1. Mark 6:1. Are you there? Okay. Then he there is our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, went out from there and came to his own country. Underline that. His own country. And his disciples followed him. Now remember that before this, Jesus had been doing ministry in foreign towns, right? Okay, foreign nations. Now look at what happened here. He now came to his own hometown. Do you follow that? Where everyone knew him. Now Nazareth was a very small town. Okay, it had about 500 inhabitants. You know, how many of you think that's very small? 500 people. That's very small. Okay, so it was such that everyone knew each other. That's Nazareth. So these people in Nazareth were familiar with Jesus' background. Do you follow that? They knew him. Now look at what happened. He comes to his hometown and no one welcomes him well. Amen? No one welcomes him well. You know, we have no record of a triumphant entry in his own hometown. Now, do you recall that these same people had tried to kill Jesus a year earlier? These same people in Nazareth. You see that in Luke 4:16-30, when Jesus Christ went to their synagogue and he read from Isaiah, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon. Remember, they tried to throw him off the cliff. Remember, these same guys. So it's clear that he had a dishonor problem. Do you follow that? So again, Jesus now came after 1 year. You can say 1 year of his attempted murder. Amen. They tried to kill him. He ran away, right, for his dear life. Then he came back again 1 year after. Okay, you would think that 1 year is enough time for these guys to change. And look at verse 2 of that same chapter, Mark 6. Okay, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. See, again, right? Okay, and look at their reaction. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which was given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Do you see that? Now look at their attitude. Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter? Come on. So what do we have here? Familiarity with his occupation. Come on. Do you see that? Familiarity with his occupation. Now they go on, they said, the son of Mary. Now what is that? Familiarity with his mother. Come on. Okay. And brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Now what is that? Familiarity with his brothers. You see that? And not his sisters here with us. Familiarity with his sisters. Now look at the result. So they were offended at him. Interesting. So Jesus would go to other towns, right, where they were not familiar with him, right, and they received him, but he is rejected where he is too well known. Do you see that? Do you see that? Where they are too familiar about him. Now look at that. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 4. He says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except where? In his own country. Underline that. Own country. Among his own relatives. You see that? And in his own house. You see that? So only where a prophet is well known is he dishonored. Did you follow that? Only where a prophet is well known is he dishonored. So familiarity breeds contempt. Do you see that now? Familiarity breeds disrespect. It breeds contempt. You know, usually if you know someone very well or you experience something a lot, you will stop respecting them. Am I right? Yes. And see the result of their dishonor. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there. Underline that. He could do no mighty work there. Except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now were there just a few sick people there? No. There must have been several, right? But he could only do a little. And look at 6. And he marveled there because of their unbelief. Underline that. Unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So their unbelief, which was a product of familiarity, in that the power of God. Do you see that? Their unbelief, which was a product of familiarity, in that the power of God. You see that in other towns that Jesus went to, Jesus healed several people, right? Look at Matthew 4:23, for example. Matthew 4:23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses. Underline that. All kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Underline that. All kinds among the people. Now look at 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. Now look at that. And they brought to him all sick people. Is this a multitude? A lot of people, right? Okay. Who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. And those who were demon possessed, paralytics and epileptics. And he healed them. Underline that. He healed them. So everyone, right? Okay, now look at 25. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis. That means 10 towns, okay, in the Greek. Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So you see that Jesus could heal in places where he was unknown, but not in his hometown. Now what was the difference? Honor. Do you follow that? So these ones honored Jesus as God's prophet, while those at his hometown chose to be familiar. Do you see that? So when you allow over familiarity, you rob yourself of the power of God. Do you see that now? The things of God can't bless you once you get too familiar. It can't. Let me say it again to you. Whatever thing of God you get too familiar with cannot bless you anymore. Whether it's the gathering of the saints, whether it's your pastor, whether it's the word, whether it's prayer, whatever thing of God you get too familiar with can never bless you again. And you know, it is never recorded that Jesus ever went back to Nazareth. till his death. Sad. Do you see that? So familiarity will cost you. Are you seeing that now? It will cost you. You know, we've said time and time again that Israel suffered from this problem, right? A familiarity problem. You see that the psalmist describes this in Psalm 78. Please turn there. Israel suffered as a result of a familiarity problem. Psalm 78 verse 10. Psalm 78 10. Are you there? Okay. They did not keep the commandment of God. They refused to walk in his law. Now look at 11. And forgot his works. You see that? And his wonders that he had shown them. Now this describes a familiar attitude. Okay. You know, whereby you say, what? Is it not miracles? I've heard people say that before. What is there? What is there? What miracle have I not seen before? You know, that is being stupid. Do you follow that? That is being stupid. Now see the result. Verse 40 of that same chapter. It says, how often they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yet again and again they tempted the Lord. Now look at this. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Underline that. Very key. Limited what? The Holy One of Israel. Now look at 42. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Now 43. When he walked his signs, underline that, walked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Do you see that? Very interesting. Verse 41 says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Now that word limited translates the Hebrew Tavah. Okay, Tavah, that's T-A-V-A-H. Tavah, that word literally means to put a fence around someone. Do you see that? To fence someone in, to set a mark around someone. Okay, it's like saying you can't go any further than this. Now that is what over familiarity does. What does it do? It hinders God and his power from blessing us. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay, so when we get too familiar, we set boundaries around the power of God. We limit how much he can do. So do you see this is a very serious issue? Come on. Do you see a very, very serious issue? And because God was limited, the devil could now come in to destroy. Look at Numbers 21 again. Our text. Numbers 21. Now remember in verse 5, they dishonored God, right? And his provision, right? They call it worthless bread, right? Can we call that familiarity? Okay. Now look at what happens in verse 6 of that same chapter. Numbers 21. It says, so the Lord sent word, fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Do you see that? So their dishonor opened the door for judgment, and many of them died. That's what familiarity does. You are putting God in a box. You are telling God, God, I don't want you to help me anymore. That's familiarity. So the Jews had that problem. And you see, the truth is, several of them died in the wilderness because of this attitude. In Numbers 14, you see that a death sentence is pronounced on all of them because they rebelled against God's word. Look at that. Numbers 14:26. Now remember what happened before this. Spies were sent out, right? To spy the land. But these spies came back with an evil report, right? Remember that story? Okay, thank you. They didn't trust God's power. Okay? They didn't trust God's power. Now look at verse 26, Numbers 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I've heard the complaint which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, now look at this, says the Lord, just as you have spoken to my hearing, so I will do to you. Do you see that? Look at chapter 9. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above. Do you see that? Look at 30. Except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I will make you dwell in. But your little ones whom you said will be victims, okay, I will bring in, and they shall know that the Lord which you have despised. Or they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Do you see that? The result of over familiarity. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years. and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. Now look at 34. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for each day you shall what? Bear your guilt 1 year. Do you see that? So 40 years. Do you see that? And you shall know my rejection. Look at 34. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed and they shall die. Look at 36. Now the men whom Moses sent out to spy the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. Do you see that? Look at 38. For Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. You see that? So that is the consequence of their overfamiliarity. You see that? They limited God and they died in the wilderness as a result. So there are repercussions for allowing overfamiliarity in our midst. Okay? There are repercussions for allowing overfamiliarity in our midst. You know the repercussions? We won't enjoy the power of God as we ought to. Remember what I told you? Anything of God you become too familiar with won't bless you anymore. Anything. Whether it's the word, whether it's meetings, whether it's your pastor, or whether it's God himself. Whatever thing of God you get too familiar with won't bless you anymore. I remember years ago, in a local church I was a part of, I remember that I just noticed that the pastor always seemed off in the services. I don't know what exactly it was, but every time the pastor comes to minister, he would just seem very off. So I said, okay, because I'm very observant. So I said, let me see if he's like this when he goes to preach elsewhere. Do you follow that? So I remember he was having a meeting. Okay, so I went to the meeting and I observed that there was a difference in how he taught in that meeting and how he was teaching in church. He seemed to be better in the meeting than he was at church. Then I realized something. We had gotten too familiar with the man. Do you follow it? So when he went outside where people didn't know him, he moved in the power of God very well. But when he came to us, we'll see him every week. Right? See finish. Okay? There was that limit to what he could do. That is what familiarity causes. Do you follow that? So I said, okay. Then in my mind, I began to honor the man more. Do you follow that? I now increase, I heighten my honor towards the man, okay, in both my words, my actions, and in my heart. And I observe that he started doing better. Amen? Amen? He started flowing better in the meetings. He started blessing me more. So, let me ask you a question. Do you want to be blessed every time we gather? Huh? Do you want the power of God to touch you every time? Every time. Every time. Do you want to keep enjoying the power of God in your pastor's ministry? Every time. Okay, then you know what you must do. You must kill familiarity. You must kill it. Okay, don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't. You hear what I said? Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. You see that the writer of Hebrews warns Christians about this. As we begin to close now, look at Hebrews 12:15. How many of you are learning so far? Okay, thank you. Hebrews 12:15. Okay, it says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And look at 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, underline that, profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Do you see that? So he calls Esau profane. Do you follow that? Okay, now that word profane translates the Greek word bebelos. Bebelos, that's B-E-B-E-L-O-S. B-E-B-E-L-O-S. The E after B, second B accentuated, okay? It describes a person who doesn't respect holy things. That's that word, bebelos. It describes a person who doesn't respect holy things. Okay, someone who treats sacred things as common. That's bebelos, okay? It describes someone who disregards what ought to be hallowed. Okay? It describes one who disregards what ought to be hallowed, treated as holy. No, that was how Esau treated his birthright. Remember that? Look at how it was recorded, Genesis 25. Please turn your Bible there. As we're going to close now. Genesis 25:29. Genesis 25:29. Now this story, it says, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. And look at 31. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. You see that? Okay. And look at 32. And Esau said, look. Now look at that. I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Underline that. What is this birthright to me? Now you don't say this about holy things. Amen. Remember, that birthright was the right to father the Messiah. Do you remember that? According to God's promise to Abraham, that the promise, remember the seed, right, will come from him. So that birthright was the right, okay, that the Messiah will come from your family. Now look at what he says about it. He says, what is this birthright to me? So he disregarded it. Do you see that? He got too familiar. Come on. You see that? Now look at 33. Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Do you see that? Okay. And Jacob gave Esau food. Okay. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. He didn't even care. He didn't see it as anything. He said, just ate and went. Now look at this. Thus Esau what? Despised his birthright. Do you see that? Do you see that? He despised it. That word despise is that same Hebrew word bazah that we saw. B-A-Z-A-H. Okay? B-A-Z-A-H. Which means to scorn or to not esteem. Okay? So Esau was profane. Ungodly. You see what he did? He disregarded the holy birthright and he lost it. Now that is what happens when we disregard holy things. We lose them. Do you see that? Do you see that now? Okay, so kill familiarity in your life. You know what I said? Kill familiarity in your life. It is a trap of the devil to destroy you. You see, Esau was later destroyed. Right? His family members caused so much issues in the Bible, the Edomites, because of his dishonor, his over familiarity. You see that? So familiarity over familiarity is a trap of the devil to destroy you. You know, I find it quite interesting that the Bible speaks of familiar spirits. Amen? I will say that in your Bible reading. Familiar spirits. Look at Leviticus 19:31. Let's see that. Leviticus 19:31. Now it says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Underline that, please, okay? Familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You see that? Look at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26. Okay? And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits, underline that. Familiar spirits. To prostitute himself with them. Leviticus 26. 20 verse 6. Do you get it now? Okay? To prostitute himself with them. I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Do you see that? Now see verse 27 of that same chapter, Leviticus 20. It says, a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits, underline that, familiar spirits, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. You see that? Their blood shall be upon them. So you see that under the law of Moses, interacting with familiar spirits was prohibited. Do you see that? Was prohibited. Now, familiar spirits are demon spirits that know things about people. Do you follow that? They are familiar with you. Amen. Those are familiar spirits. They are spirits that know things about people. Then they use that knowledge to cause harm. Do you follow that? They use that knowledge they have of people to cause harm. So, a manifestation of the devil is to use too much information for evil. Come on. Do you see that? You see, one of the manifestations of the devil is to use too much information for evil. Now, remember, what is familiarity? Familiarity happens, right, when you know too much, right, about a certain thing of God. So much so that you begin to disregard it. Now, that's the evil. Come on. Do you see that? So, do you see, familiarity is a work of the devil. Do you see that? It's a work of the devil. So the Christian must therefore avoid this trap. Okay? Familiarity is a trap. Say, familiarity is a trap of the devil to destroy me. Say, I know this, therefore I'll be wise. Say, I know this, therefore I'll be wise. Hallelujah. Okay? So don't allow familiarity. Don't allow it. So, this year, let me say this to you. It's a new year, right? Okay? This year, don't become too familiar with the things of God. Okay? Keep your wonder this year. What did I say? Keep your wonder. Be like a child in heart. Okay? And you know what will happen? In our gatherings, we will receive more of God's blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Imagine if you came to the gatherings praying. Think about that. Imagine if from the car park, as you are coming into the place, you are praying under your breath, God, in this service, my life will never remain the same. That is how not to be familiar. Some of you just enter into the service casually, just be like you are going to the club. Some of you don't even pray for the service ahead of time. You are being too familiar. Well, it won't bless you. Then later you wonder how some people are blessed in the service and you are not. That is the reason why. Do you get it now? Do you get it now? So this year, let's treat our gatherings with respect. Do you follow? You know what this means? This means that when you come to the gathering, you're not looking around when people are praying. Amen? Amen. You are praying well when everyone is praying. It means, you know, you are reading your Bible when a text is called. You're not looking around. Amen. You are writing, taking notes down. Amen. As the pastor is preaching, you are thinking on what is being said. That is how you are blessed. Amen. Amen. That means this year, you won't despise your pastor's hand. Amen. Amen. That means this year you won't despise your pastor's hand. When your pastor lays hands on you, you say, he has laid hands on me over and over and over and over again. You know, for some people, I was even going to say this, for some people, they are so familiar with the opening prayer. Amen. You know, they hear that opening prayer every week. You know, some people, when I come here and I give the opening prayer, they're just looking around. Say, this thing again. You are too familiar. Do you get it? And it will cost you. Remember, anything of God you are too familiar with can never bless you again. Same with God's word. Okay, you know, we have our Bible reading plan, right? Don't say to yourself, I've read this already. Read it again. Hallelujah. Read it again. That same verse can bless you again. Don't be familiar. Do you follow this? Don't be too familiar. You know, we, our prayers, don't be too familiar with tongues. You say we pray in tongues every day. Yes, we do. Doesn't mean you are too familiar. You should get too familiar with it. Do you follow that? Does it mean you should get too familiar with it? No. Honor tongues. Hallelujah. Tongues has blessed you in the past. It can bless you again. Hallelujah. It can bless you again. You know, same with the things of the Spirit. Okay? The same. You say, we always give prophecies in church. Yes, we always do. Those prophecies can bless you again. Have they blessed you in the past? Yes. Can they bless you again now? Yes. Okay? So don't get too familiar. For some people, it's with the power of God. We come to service and we are laughing in the Holy Ghost, and they've laughed so much in the Holy Ghost that their neck has turned to the back. And then they feel, what else is left? So we are laughing in the Holy Ghost for them to see, glory, glory, glory. What's it rear? Glory, glory. No. Say this year, this year, say this year, I'm not familiar with the things of God. Say this year, I maintain my awe, I retain my reverence, I retain my deference for the things of God. Say this year, come on. I'm not like the children of Israel who got too familiar with the things of God, who got too familiar with the gatherings, who got too familiar with their spiritual leaders, who got too familiar with the power of God. Say this year, I remain like a child at heart in the name of Jesus. Come on, I maintain my honor, I maintain my deference, my reverence for the things of God. Say, God deserves my honor. Say, the things of God deserve my reverence. Therefore, I will show the same. Say, the things of God are worthy of my honor, are worthy of my worship. Therefore, I will show the same. And this year, I will be better for it. In the name of Jesus. Say, this year, I will be better for it. Say, this year, everything of God, everything that pertains to God will bless me. Say, this year, everything that pertains to God will bless me. Whether Bible preaching, whether the gatherings, whether my pastor Come on, everything will bless me. So this year, I'm not too familiar with my fellow Christians in my local church. I honor their prophecies. I honor their prophecies. I know when they speak, God is speaking to me. Therefore, I will honor what they say to me. And this year, I'll be better for it. Say, this year, I walk in honor toward the things of God. This year, I walk in honor toward everything that pertains to the Lord Jesus. And I'm better for it. I'm better for it. I'm better for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you learn today? Lead to giving praise. Thank Him.